We continue our local election coverage this morning with a forum featuring the three candidates running for mayor in Longmont. Joining us in the studio, we have Sarah Levinson, Roger Lang and Brian Bagley. And I'm going to invite each candidate to make an opening statement to introduce themselves to listeners. Sarah Levinson, we'll begin with you.
Thanks, Maeve, and a shout out to all KGNU listeners. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Sarah Levison, and many of you may have known me in my past work with 8 years of service on the City Council. I've lived in Longmont for over 20 years, and the reason that I'm running for mayor of Longmont is because I really love Longmont. I think it's the best city to, hands down, really, even the whole world, to live, work, learn, raise a family, and retire. We also have lots of fun in Longmont, and I want to make sure that we stay a community that's vibrant, where everybody feels that they belong, and that I've always felt Longmont's a city where one person can still make a difference. Thank you.
That's Sarah Levison, a candidate for the Longmont mayoral race. We'll invite now Roger Lang to make his opening statement.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Roger Lang. I have been a previous city council member in Longmont for about 8 years, and then I was mayor for a period of 2 years. The reason I'm running for mayor is that I also believe that Longmont is a great place to live, work, and play. And I think I bring a lot of leadership qualities to this position, and I think that's going to be something that will be needed on city council. We've got a lot of issues to take on, and we're going to have to operate as a team, do a lot of problem solving, and I think I have the ability to help move that process along. Thank you.
That's Roger Lang, a candidate in the Longmont mayoral race. And finally, we'll ask Brian Bagley, welcome. What is your opening statement this morning?
Well, first of all, thanks a lot for having us here. My name is Brian Bagley. I've lived in Longmont since 1999, transplanted there from Boulder, where I went to law school and got my MBA from CU. I've served on city council now for 6 years, four of those years as Longmont's mayor pro tem. And we've got a lot going on right now in Longmont. I'm running for mayor primarily because, first of all, the mayor sets the agenda, and I've got some important issues that I want to see accomplished over the next 2, 4, 6 years. And that is, one, I think we need to continue to foster a thriving economy. Two, we've got an emergent problem with transients and homelessness right now that we need to tackle. We need to plan for smart growth, safeguard our water, protect our residential neighborhoods from heavy industry such as fracking, and establish common sense affordable housing solutions. I'm involved in those solutions, and I want to see them through.
That's Brian Bagley, a candidate in the Longmont mayoral race. I'm going to invite each candidate to identify 5 priorities that they would have as mayor, and we'll mix up the order a little bit. I'll invite Roger Lang to begin.
Okay, my 5 priorities are affordability, homelessness, growth rate, traffic, and benchmarks, which I'll explain in a little more detail when I get to that point. But affordability, I think we're not doing the job we should to afford housing for people that are less than medium income. Our affordability housing percentage is about 5%. That hasn't moved in a long time. Our goal is 10%. We are doing building right now that is being built and marketed at market rate. No affordable units in there, and I think we've got quite a ways to go on this issue, and that's one thing that is causing me great concern about this particular item. Homelessness is a problem that doesn't only affect Longmont, but it affects all the surrounding communities. It's actually a Boulder County problem, and I think we'll talk about some Boulder County solutions later on in the program. There's concern about the growth rate in Longmont. Recently, there's a lot of building going on. People equate the growth rate to the traffic that's being increased, and there's concern about we're getting a lot of congestion, and we don't have the infrastructure to accommodate the growth rate that we're experiencing. The last item, I mentioned benchmarks, which people may not be real familiar with, but we used it when I was on city council. It's a report card, basically, on all these issues and others, such as school capacity, and it lets you see how you're doing in these different categories, and when you see something out of line, it gives you direction on how to adjust and control and make improvements. So we're really not measuring these issues, in my mind, today. We should, and that would be one of my objectives is to be able to measure all these issues that are concerning the public today.
That's Roger Lang, one of the three candidates in the Longmont mayoral race. Brian Bagley, what would your five priorities be as mayor?
Well, thanks. I mentioned them in my opening, but let me just mention them again, and I'll just kind of take them one by one. First of all, top of my list is to foster a thriving economy. 6 years ago, when I came on council, and I'm not saying this because I can take credit for everything, but when I was on council, when I first joined council, we had a dead mall. We had vacant retail and commercial space. We had just things were not good. You drive down Main Street and it was empty. Things have changed. We've got businesses coming in, jobs coming in. We've got development occurring, and that means jobs. It means prosperity. So we need to continue that. I was the first to really point out that we've got a homelessness problem. And when I say homelessness, I'm talking about specifically the transients. Longmont is doing a few things that are, we're causing immigration of people into our town from faraway places to get our services. And so right now, the solution to that is we've got some of our nonprofits switching up the way they provide their services. We're going to an integrated database where our city and Boulder County and nonprofits such as Hope and the Hour Center, they're going to be sharing information so that we can really focus on giving not a handout, but really a hand up and to help up. Because we need to be compassionate for the homeless and the transient problem, but at the same time, our downtown businesses are complaining about urination, defecation, and just a rising criminal rate that's accompanying really what are only about two dozen people. And so we need to fix that. We need to focus on planning for smart growth. We've got very little space left in Longmont to develop residential and commercial property. So we need to be smart about who we annex in and what we allow to be developed. We need to safeguard our water. A big issue that I'm sure we'll talk about today, or maybe we won't, is the Windy Gap firming project. But we need to make sure, we need to be the ant, not the grasshopper. We need to make sure that we've got enough water to serve us in those dry years. We need to also protect our residential neighborhood from heavy industry, specifically fracking. It has no place in Longmont. It doesn't belong next to our homes. It doesn't belong next to our schools. And we need to we can't drop the ball on that. And last but not least, and I think this is six, I'm sneaking in six, we need to establish common sense affordable housing solutions. And there's two ways to look at that. On one hand, you've got market rate affordable housing, meaning how much does it cost to live in Longmont? And unfortunately, if you focus on building rec centers and nice streets and pretty parks and trails, people are going to want to live in Longmont, and there's going to be an increasing demand. But at the same time, you also need to focus on workforce housing. Because of that beautification of Longmont, because Longmont's getting better, we're outpacing the ability of people such as firefighters, policemen, school teachers, our food servers. Our working class can't afford Longmont. So Longmont has recently started, and we're taking $1 million out of our general fund, and we're putting it into an affordable housing budget that can then be leveraged with federal and state dollars. And those federal and state dollars, with this amount, $1 million every year, we're projecting we can build approximately 100 subsidized affordable housing units each year. And the goal is by 2035 to have 10% of our housing stock truly subsidized affordable housing. Now, the challenge isn't hitting that 10% goal. We'll be able to hit that goal. The challenge is Boulder County and the rest of our neighbors. We got together last week, and elected officials were talking about boosting that number from 10% to 12%. And so now the new challenge is, yeah, you can easily hit 10, Longmont. We were the leader in the region saying, yeah, we can hit 10. We were the first to set that goal and figure out a way to hit it. But now the question becomes, can we rise to the challenge and hit 12%? So those are my priorities, and will continue to be my priorities should I be fortunate enough to serve as Longmont's mayor.
That is Brian Bagley, one of the three candidates joining us today. And we'll go now to Sarah Levison. What would your five priorities be if you were mayor of Longmont?
Well, I'm going to maybe do four priorities, but do a drop down under some of them. So I look at our local economy as a key issue. So under local economy, you have to look at jobs and the availability of jobs at different pay categories. And then the other part of the economy that people don't talk about, in order for people to go to work, people with children, we need affordable childcare. So everybody talks about an affordable housing crisis. We have an affordable childcare crisis. And those of you and your audience members who have children that need to be cared for when their parents go to work, I know for a fact there are parents that go to work every day not knowing how safe their child's going to be, if they're going to be in a nurturing environment where there is a component of education and learning to propel that child forward be successful in life. And that really is a key to economic growth and jobs. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has been working on this childcare issue as a fundamental part of workforce and future workforce for at least half a decade. And no one wants to talk about this, but it is a key for people going to work and also educating the workforce of the future. The other thing is, I think we have to, as a city, look at our own fiscal house. We have a mall that's turned around. However, it took millions of dollars of subsidies. And while Mr. Bagley wants to talk about how good things are, you have to realize that we were coming out of the Great Recession. I mean, years ago, no one was building anything, and there was a stall in that redevelopment process. However, in order to get it moving, the city council leveraged four of our city buildings, basically as collateral for the owner of that mall to get their financing, which I did not vote for except on one occasion. The occasion I voted for it was because I made an amendment that the minute that enough of the loans were paid back to get one of our city buildings back, that we got that building back in our portfolio, that it wasn't sitting out there to be securing his debt any longer. The other thing, I think the cluster of other items is quality of life. That involves everything from building and infill to the homeless issue. I also think that the homeless issue, I've been working on that much longer than Mr. Bagley. Frankly, I've been studying especially how we can get our veterans off the street. There's been a national movement to end veteran homelessness, and even cities like Phoenix and Austin have gone down to under 5% of veterans homelessness. I think we need to honor the people that served our country and look at helping them first. I think we can do that. As mayor, I would take a pledge to end veterans homelessness, just like 15 mayors in Colorado and mayors across the country. The other part of quality of life is the housing issue and infill development. And I've worked on that issue much longer than Mr. Bagley. I have a long history of doing policy work in all those areas.
That's Sarah Levison, one of the three candidates seeking election to the position of mayor in Longmont. It's our candidate forum here at KGNU Community Radio. I'm going to ask some of the candidates some questions. We'll ask all of the candidates, rather, some questions, and some of them touch on items you've already identified. Since Boulder County's fracking moratorium expired, there's been a proposal submitted to develop a 12-square-mile oil field near US 287 and Colorado 52 between Longmont and Lafayette. How would you approach the issue of fracking as mayor, given that the majority of voters in Longmont in 2012 approved a fracking ban, but the state has overturned that? How would you approach it? We'll start with Brian Bagley this time.
Great, thanks. So first of all, how much time do you want me to talk?
If you can stick to 3 minutes for
3 minutes, great. So, but just brief history. So 6 years ago, I don't think most people in town knew what fracking was. I learned about the word fracking when I went over with Brian Hansen, who served in this council position, and met with a group of neighbors over at Union Reservoir. And we had a talk about, well, what's this fracking thing going on behind my house? And then it was just, you know, starting pistol off to the races. And then I haven't had one day where we haven't talked about fracking since then. And so what Longmont did originally was our plan was to pass strict protective oil and gas ordinances. And unfortunately, three of us on council voted to pass those and four did not. And there was an uproar in the community saying, oh my gosh, if city council can't protect us, we're going to take it into our own hands. And so we went ahead and the community got petitions, signatures, and they put a fracking ban into our charter. It was voted on at the ballot and it was accepted by the majority of our citizens. And as a result, we were sued. And but in the meantime, even though the citizenry were pushing for that fracking ban, we continued to push for that oil and gas regulatory defensive measure. And we actually got Alex Samore was the swing vote. He came back and we got our oil and gas regulations passed. And it essentially, it is a de facto ban on fracking on the surface in 98% of Longmont. It prohibits fracking in our residentially zoned areas. It provides setbacks and it protects Longmont. And so now the question is, what do we do about it? Well, my opinion is we vehemently protect those oil and gas regulations because we were also sued over those. And Governor Hickenlooper and his staff, I believe, knowing that he was going to lose in court, agreed to let us keep them. And there is currently a truce in place saying we can keep our oil and gas regs, but we had better not dare change them. And so I'm a big believer that we need to protect them. Now, as far as the area that you're talking about, I also believe what we need to do now is coordinate with surrounding areas, Broomfield, Weld County, Boulder County, Lafayette, Superior, Erie, and come together as a region, much like we did on affordable housing, and talk and explore solutions about how can we actually team together to protect our residents, our homes, our schools, and our families.
That is Brian Bagley, one of the candidates for mayor in Longmont. Sarah Levison, how would you tackle this issue of fracking, given the history that it has in Longmont?
Well, I think that I also think that fracking has no place next to homes, schools. I think one of the great hopes that all the cities have, since we've been preempted from doing many kinds of regulations, except for what we have jurisdiction over zoning, and even that can be limited, is to look for help for the state legislature, and that's been lacking. And the reason is that people have dug their feet in at the state level, and one piece of legislation I know has failed repeatedly is to not measure the distance just from a school building, but to the edge of the school property. Because if you look at this principle of we don't want people to be harmed, let's not also get into a situation that happened in Greeley not too many weeks ago where there was a football game. And, you know, a team was driving for the goal line and there was a leak by in a nearby facility. And they had to stop the game with that high school football team almost being able to win and clear the field. We don't want that kind of situation to happen in our community. I don't think that it's justifiable to happen in any community whatsoever. So in many respects, some of the activity and permits that are being contemplated are in areas where, for example, the school district, St. Vrain, is building a new innovation center. And some of these facilities will be located close to that. And I think that we have to be cognizant of the other issue about fracking. All the unmapped and unlocated former facilities that might still be leaking, so we don't get into a circumstance like Firestone. So it's not just a matter of the city saying, we know where the stuff is and we're going to make sure we don't want things close to it. But we also have to look at that other issue of what's existing. Here's a gap in the regulatory area that we also have to look at.
That's Sarah Levison, one of the candidates in the Longmont mayoral race. Roger Lang, your approach to fracking.
The property that you mentioned south of Longmont at the present time is not in the city limits, but as Sarah mentioned, the Innovation Center will probably be annexed some property, and that will put that piece of property into the city. And it becomes a Boulder County problem with us and our neighbors addressing it. I also believe we have no place for fracking in our community. I think where we're at this stage of the game is that we ought to concentrate on the safety aspect of really what we have in our community. I don't know that we're going to get a lot of additional drilling going on. It'll be minimal compared to other communities, but we need to be very safe to look at where we're at with what we have in the way of facilities, and the term mapping was mentioned. We haven't done all we can to actually map where these facilities are. Had that mapping taken place in Firestone, it would have prevented a disaster situation, and that's just the type of thing that everybody ought to be concentrating on. I think our setback distances of 750 feet, they're as large as any other community in Boulder County and Larimer County. So I think they're adequate. The question that was brought up about, is it from a building structure or is it from a property line? I would have no problem of having the setback distance be from the property line, not just the building. So we have to look at the safety aspects to protect our community. But I do not believe the fracking issue is going to be something that we should allow. How this plays out in Boulder County is going to be very interesting, but we have to get together and support each other to complete our communities and the county itself safe from drilling activities in the future.
It's Roger Lang, one of the three mayoral candidates from Longmont, joining us in KGNU studio. This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver and Fort Collins. It's 5 minutes till 9 o'clock and the candidates are with us till 9:30. We have had some questions being emailed in as well. One of them, well, a couple of listeners have identified the issue of public transit in Longmont, specifically the train. What is happening? What could you do as mayor to ensure that Longmont will get the train that had been promised many years ago? We'll start this time with Sarah Levison.
Thank you. Well, sometimes experience matters. And my experience with the Colorado Municipal League, where I was on their policy committee and also on their executive board for several years, allowed me the opportunity to have casual conversation with mayors and council members from all over the metro region and, in fact, all over the state. And one of those things that I learned sitting in policy committee was speaking with the council members from Lone Tree and Centennial and saying, well, how did you get fast tracks, RTD, to move on your transit projects? And they basically said, our Chamber of Commerce realized that we had a lot of open space that was eligible for business parks and offices. But without the transportation link, we would never be able to host new businesses and companies coming to our area. So what they decided, working with their chamber, is they were going to do something that RTD understands, provide them with bright, shiny objects, i.e. money to put forward so that RTD would be interested in their project. The cost for the rail, and it's not light rail, let's make a distinction. It's not like what you see on the 16th Street Mall or around Denver. This is Amtrak-style commercial rail. If you live back east, that's the kind of rail we're talking about. So the rail is shared with Burlington Northern Santa Fe, and because freight has become such an important part of their revenue, in order for the train to run, we have to basically buy up the time for those trains to run on those tracks. And that's gotten more expensive. So what could we do? We could find a way to, again, sorry to say, we're going to have to raise the money ourselves. We can't depend on a lot of federal money for this line. And the other thing, I think the biggest crime of all with the transportation issue in Longmont is you cannot get to the airport unless you want to pay $25 or $30 in a private car service or a shuttle service. You would have to go to Boulder first to get on a bus to go to the airport. And I think that that's unconscionable. It's killing our tourism industry. It's also hurting our families who, if you travel out of town, there's really no alternative but to take a car to the airport if your flight is before 11 o'clock in the morning, and most of them are. And coming home at night, it would make it a long slog if you arrived at DIA late. So I think we have to have the ability for great bus service. Plus, the rail issue is a long-term problem with a challenge, not just a problem, with a very enormous price tag. So either we decide we wait longer or we take action ourselves to be investors in our future.
Sarah Levison, one of the candidates in the Longmont mayoral race. Roger Lang, how would you tackle this issue of public transit, specifically the train?
My opinion might differ from the other two candidates, I'm not sure, but fast tracks, that was as it was conceived, as everybody knows, it would be Longmont through Boulder to Denver. To me, that seems to be not the shortest route, but a little longer route than if we go out to I-25 and directly to Denver. That isn't exactly the issue, but I think the big issue with as Fast Tracks was initially conceived is working with Burlington Northern on a common track system. I just don't think that's going to be very feasible. If I was Burlington Northern and I owned the track, the freight would go first before any passenger rail. And I just think from a timing standpoint, it just doesn't make sense to attempt that type of solution, and I think it'd be a very expensive solution. I would propose we partner with the state of Colorado and other communities to get some kind of transportation, whether it be light rail or a bullet train or what have you, up I-25. That's where the traffic congestion is. Traffic congestion between Longmont and Boulder, I think, could be fixed with bus rapid transit, and I think that would be the preferable way to transport people between Longmont and Boulder. But I think if we're going to do anything in the way of a rail system, I believe the rail system belongs on I-25. I believe we'd come up with some access ability between Longmont and Del Camino, which is our point on I-25, and that would be a much better solution than the fast track was originally proposed. It's going to take a lot of cooperation, but it affects a lot of people. Everybody, all kinds of communities, and people traveling are impacted by the congestion on I-25, and I think that's the real break point of this whole thing, and that's where the solution needs to be targeted.
It's Roger Lang, one of the Longmont mayoral candidates. Brian Bagley, how would you tackle this issue of the train and transit?
Well, I think a little differently than my opponents. First of all, I would not, and I did not vote back in 2004 for fast tracks. I thought that it was just cost prohibitive. But there's a difference between my opinion now and then. My opinion now is we've paid for it. We are paying for it. 4 cents of every $10 of our sales tax is going towards the fast track project. So we are part of a regional transportation district, or RTD, but we are not getting the same benefit as our partners. So we also pay 6 cents of every $10 into the RTD budget. And there are two different taxes. It's okay, 4 cents into fast track, 6 cents into RTD. And what we get for that money are different pools. So for example, our 6 cents gets regular bus service. Our 6 cents gets bus rapid transit from RTD. We are not using our fast track dollars if RTD says, hey, Longmont, we're going to throw you a bone and we're going to give you bus rapid transit. My argument there is we should get that too, because we're also paying 6 cents of every $10 into the RTD pool. So what makes the 2004, what really gives us our primary strength or argument is, in 2004, the voters didn't just pass this ethereal, ideological idea of, hey, let's build a train. There was a very specific plan. BRT was going to run from Denver to Boulder. It wasn't going to run to Longmont. Fast track dollars were going to pay for those BRT shuttles. The train, very specifically, we can't go back and put the train along I-24. That's not part of fast track.
I-25.
Or, I'm sorry, I-25. Thank you. The train is set pursuant to that ballot measure to go from Denver to Boulder, then to Longmont. And so if RTD wants to not give us our train, that's not their choice. Legally, they have to. And they've spent dollars on all the other lines, but not for Longmont. And so what can we do about it? Number one, public pressure. Two, council pressure. And three, last but not least, legal pressure. Because this is not like a referendum where we're all donating to build a new Mile High or a new Pepsi Center. This is a very specific plan to have a train go from Denver to Boulder, Boulder to Longmont. And if they don't want to do that, I say, one, give us our money back and we'll build our own train. Or two, just build the train or at least set a date. Because right now it was 2042. And just recently they said, no, we're not even going to put that in. And so I could understand a legal argument that as long as they have a date, they're making progress. But right now, RTD has said, you know, we're not even going to promise you the train, which I believe is in violation of what the ballot measure said back in 2004 when it passed.
It's Brian Bagley, one of the candidates from Mayor. Sarah Levinson, do you want to?
Yeah, I think I want to jump in here. First of all, Brian is correct that RTD's district, that special district, taxing district, really ends at County Line Road 1, Weld County Line and Boulder County Line. So to go out to DeCono, which is not part of the special taxing district, they would have to join in. And I don't see that DeCono and Frederick and Firestone will jump on a bandwagon where there have been such catastrophic failures of delivery by RTD. That's the first point. Number two, Mr. Bagley is an attorney. Everybody, I think, knows that. And to go, I think that he might have a view to sue another government agency, which I think, well, okay, let's figure out who pays for the lawsuit. We're going to be paying for both sides, frankly. We'll be paying for the Longmont City and any other coalition we can get into it. And then RTD will pay their attorneys out of the money that they collect from the special district. So why would you enter a lawsuit where you're paying for both sides? My idea is to look at what's already been discussed, is to see if we can sequester the tax money and make sure that it's in a lockbox and that that money goes to fast tracks and to building the rail project. I also think we need to build stronger alliances with people such as former mayor of Westminster, Nancy McNally, who can maybe do a little bit more maneuvering and lobbying. And why Westminster? Because she's always stood behind the fact that fast tracks has to be built all the way to the terminus in Longmont. It's good for Westminster. It's good for Boulder. It's good for Louisville. And we're all in this regional economic hub together.
Brian Bagley, did you want to respond?
Yes, I do. And so, I mean, first of all, to be clear, I am an attorney, but good attorneys, they don't go to trial. Good attorneys figure out ways to get things done. We mediate, we negotiate, and ultimately the vast majority of lawsuits settle. Here, I'm not talking about going out. You'll notice that RTD and Fast Tracks was not on my top five or six priorities. I'm simply saying that if we continue to get charged at some point in the future, if they continue to tax us for Fast Track, at some point that needs to be addressed. However, how it can be addressed right now, first of all, in talking with executives out at BNSF, they have told me that RTD hasn't even really tried to court them about how to use the BNSF rails. And so what that leads me to believe, there's been talk and discussion, and it's very possible to do, is we don't need a train every 20 minutes. We could start with trains in the beginning of the day at rush hour and the end of the day, and we could go slow. We don't need to just jump in. And so, but something should be done. Right now, RTD, for example, doesn't even keep track of its ridership. You can go down in Denver, get on the fast track, excuse me, or the RTD system, and you don't have to pay. And every time a rider gets onto the system, it's estimated that we're subsidizing about $11 per rider per ride to use basically a free transit system. And so RTD needs to step up to the plate and begin keeping track of ridership, talking and using real efforts to talk and coordinate with BNSF how to use the rails, and just come up with a simple plan. And right now we're just being ignored, and I don't think we should be ignored.
But Roger Lang, would you like to add something?
Yeah, I'll just make a pitch again for not going with the regional fast tracks concept. And I guess my point is, if that was a doable situation and you could have a doable solution to this, it would be done. There would be a date set and we'd be moving forward. Obviously, this thing is not a very workable situation and the solution is not near term. And that's why, again, I propose that we not go via Boulder and we go out to I-25 where all the traffic is. We have spent a lot of time when I was on city council working with Burlington Northern, going through the gyrations of what does a workable situation look like, and it just is unreasonable to expect that it'd be a smooth transition by trying to put freight and passenger transportation on the same rail system. So as far as the litigation thing, I don't see litigation going anywhere, and so that's something that I would not be in favor of approaching, but I just don't think the original concept is something that's workable. We need to move to a different situation and take care of the situation where the congestion really exists.
But we're going to move on to some other topics. We have 20 minutes left with the three candidates in the Longmont mayoral race, and we'll go back with Roger Lang, mixing up our order again. And there have been several incidents of hate crimes in Longmont in the past year. There's also a heightened sense of anxiety amongst the immigrant community as a result of federal policy around immigration. As mayor, what would you do to support everybody in the community in Longmont and make sure that it's a welcome and inclusive community for everybody?
Well, I guess the first thing I'd like to talk about is the issue of a definition of a sanctuary city. I know Boulder's definition is they are a sanctuary city, and that conversation was going on in Longmont. And I think we're very fortunate to have a police chief, Mike Butler, who has a very futuristic look on issues. And his comment was, it's not so much what we call our city, but how we behave as a city. And Longmont is an inclusive city, I believe. And Mike Butler made the decision to approach this whole illegal immigration situation in the following manner. His comment was, if we have people that are illegal in our community and they're law-abiding, we're not going to bother them. If, in fact, we have people that are not law-abiding, those are the people we're going to address. And I think that's the fair way to go about tackling this problem. Don't worry about the people that are there that are having work, doing jobs. Worry about the people that you're having trouble with. And it seemed to just kind of put the sanctuary city thing to bed. It's a philosophy that I endorse completely. And it's how you behave, it's not how you're called, that takes care of the problem and minimizes the anxiety with the people in the community.
It's Roger Lang, one of the Longmont mayoral candidates. Brian Bagley, how would you, what would you do as mayor to make sure it's a safe, inclusive community for everyone, regardless of religion, ethnic background, gender identity, sexual orientation, and everything, everybody in the community?
Well, first of all, you continue to do, I mean, first of all, there was, I share the story of people trying to move a piano. And you've got eight people trying to move this grand piano, and they can't fit it through the door. They can't figure out how to move it. And then essentially one of them just said, "Stop, everyone, lift where you stand." And everybody reached underneath, lifted together, and up came the piano. I think that what we need to do as a community is lift where we stand. Everyone can do something. I, as mayor, will continue to do the same things that I've always done. I will contribute personally and as a city to nonprofit organizations such as El Comité, the Bravo Fund, the Latino Chamber of Commerce. I will continue to work with our local Chamber of Commerce to understand and try to continue to get the Latino small business owners as participants of that organization. As many people know, I married a Mexican immigrant. I adopted three Mexican children. My daughter is Latina. She's off at college right now. I've lived in Chile, Mexico. I'm fluent in Spanish. On the outside, I am very much your typical white American. Pero también hablo español y tengo un amor enorme para la gente Latina. We need to do that. We also need to figure out a way to get the Latino community engaged. Our community has 30% Latino, but of the people that are expected and anticipated to vote in this upcoming election, only 4% of the voters will be Latino. We need to reach out to them. We need to help them understand that they are welcome, that they are loved, they are part of our community. And in addition to that, we need to figure out a way to get them to join the boards. They're not applying. And ironically, when we toured the Hour Center and we went out and looked at the transient problem, the Latino community is not among them. They are a strong, vibrant, proud community, and we need to continue to partner with them.
That's Brian Bagley, one of the candidates in the Longmont mayoral race. Sarah Levison, how would you, as mayor, make Longmont inclusive and welcoming for everybody?
Well, I think you have to live what you expect other people to do. I and my husband and I both chose to live in the historic East Side neighborhood, which is a neighborhood that's maybe 40% monolingual Spanish speaking. And our kids went to Heritage Middle School, which was predominantly Latino. And why did we do that? Because we're looking at changing demographics in our country. And without understanding and working side by side, shoulder to shoulder with our Latino neighbors, recognizing their differences enrich all of us in Longmont. I've done that for a number of years. I have been the council, I was the council liaison to the El Comité board from day one on council, from 2007 when I started. Prior to that, I had worked with Marta Moreno at El Comité on various projects. I have also supported for, you know, more than a decade, things quietly, not necessarily saying I have a lot of money to contribute, but acknowledging and honoring people when they come and they participate. One of the challenges sometimes when people don't feel that they can come and apply for Board of Commission is really talking to everybody and saying, how can we all make it a more welcoming environment? Whether it would be for people of color or LGBTQ folks, we have to actually put ourselves in other people's shoes and understand their perspective. People will not feel empowered unless they are welcomed with the understanding that people know something about them and they haven't just stereotyped them. I think that one of the things we can make more progress on is having some cultural competency training tied to the grant system we have for nonprofits and also for our boards and commissions. I think the PEARL program supporting the people engaged in raising leaders from the Boulder County leadership program is something that Longmont needs to continue to do, because that's a goldmine of people who are being trained to be serving on boards and commissions. So I think there's a lot we can do, but we have to take steps as individuals and leave ourselves open to new possibilities.
Sarah Levinson, one of the candidates. Roger Lang.
One last comment I'd like to make about what we're doing in Longmont to get closer to the immigration issue and understand what's going on in that area is that a shout out to Mike Butler. Every week he and Dan Benavides and other invited people go around different neighborhoods in our community just to be face-to-face with these people and understand and get an opportunity to talk to them and get their feedback on what they think the issues are in Longmont and how can we improve our situation. I went with them a few weeks ago, and I was very impressed about the closeness and the communication that that develops. And I think when you actually do that, you really understand and hear from them directly about what their concerns are, and I think it's an excellent way to get closer to these individuals that are in our community that we're trying to reach.
Well, we just have 15 minutes left, so we're going to go through a couple more questions, then I will give the candidates an opportunity to ask the other candidates a question. The issue of affordable housing, both home ownership and renting, is a big issue for many, many people in Longmont. We'll start with Brian Bagley. You did identify some things you're doing. Could you identify maybe some other strategies to create an affordable housing network, rental and home ownership within Longmont?
Well, first of all, yeah, I mean, we've got 15 minutes left. Let's block the next week. Right now, what I think we need to be focusing on is the subsidized affordable aspect of this. But before I get to there, we have addressed the overall supply issue. Up until just a couple years ago, there wasn't an apartment building built in Longmont for many, many years. I think Mill Village down there in South Longmont was one of the first. But as a result of inclusionary zoning, as a bad economy, previous council's policies, we just weren't having the apartment growth. And when you don't have the supply, and there are many people they're vying for that space, housing prices are going to go up. Rental prices are going to go up. And so city council got together with city staff, and we looked at the issue, and city staff and our experts and consultants said, you know what? We are about 20 for a city size, for a city the size of Longmont, we're about 2,500 high density apartment units short. And so we basically said, okay, in the short term, we need to build more apartments. And so right now we've got about 2,200-2,300 apartment buildings in the pipeline. I have voted against the last three because now we're building a lot of apartments, which leads to traffic congestion, impacts on schools, etc. But the first step in addressing the affordable housing problem was increasing the supply. Now, as far as the subsidized aspect goes, or the subsidized side goes, like I mentioned earlier, we have set aside, without raising taxes, we have trimmed our budget $1 million out of the general fund. And we've got people like Kathy Fetter and Karen Roney, who on city staff are adept, they are expert, quasi-genius level of being able to take those dollars, find matching or leveraged federal and state dollars in order to provide affordable housing units. We partner with Boulder County. We partner with the Longmont Housing Authority to provide and build and purchase subsidized housing. And so I am, so that's in on track. By 2035, 10% of our housing stock as it stands right now, the plan is we're going to hit it. However, I do not believe in a practice called inclusionary zoning. And that practice is we're going to make the developers set aside, like in Boulder, they set aside 20% of their housing as affordable. And then an additional 5% for, I don't remember quite what the AMI is, but I think it's 60 to 120% of AMI. So 25% of the units need to be subsidized. And I just don't think it's fair that you take one industry and basically say, we've got a problem, we're going to put it on the back of these people or these developers or this industry. You might as well do it to lawyers or school teachers or firefighters. I just don't think it's fair. We all need to be part of the solution. And so far, we're making good progress.
That's Brian Bagley, one of the candidates in the Longmont mayoral race. Sarah Levinson, strategies for creation of affordable housing, rental and home ownership opportunities in Longmont.
Well, I think Mr. Bagley has outlined some things that are a little bit inaccurate. The reason why there wasn't a lot of multifamily building going on is we were coming out of the Great Recession. People need to understand that the building industry ground to a total halt. Their homes were being foreclosed on. People that owned apartment complexes, they were being foreclosed on because they could make their payments. The boom had bust, and it takes a long time. And we saw that the damage to the mortgage and the housing industry took an enormous amount of time, more than usual, to recover. So now we're in this building boom again. Other strategies that Mr. Bagley did not mention, which our staff has promoted that we have not paid enough attention to, is actually preserving the affordable housing that's already been out there and subsidized. We have a area called Stonehenge, and that was built as an affordable project. Most of the affordable projects have a lifespan, 20 years, 30 years. Well, we're approaching losing those housing units because they're going off of the caveat to be affordable. Number one, we don't have to build more if we keep what's affordable, affordable. Let's also not do zoning that destroys neighborhoods. Our new comprehensive plan actually calls for an area of change in a neighborhood along Lashley Street that are very tiny, modest starter homes on tiny lots. Let's not look at doing whole-scale neighborhood urban renewal when these are the starter homes that families have invested. They are on tiny lots. Let's also look at innovative building techniques. Let's look at modular homes, not trailers that are considered private property, but a home like a modular that's built in a factory and delivered. Let's look at other recommendations from national industry nonprofits, such as the National Housing Alliance, that is actually an industry and municipal think tank, which has come up with great ideas. I also think that we need to look at what's affordable. We have to have affordability. I actually don't call it affordable housing. I call it housing opportunity. We need to have an opportunity for everybody, even the low-wage retail worker, as well as the CEO, to live in our communities.
That's Sarah Levison, one of the mayoral candidates in Longmont. Roger Lang, how would you tackle this?
Well, it's interesting. There is a lot of building going on, and as Mr. Bagley said, we have several hundred apartment units going up, and the problem with that is, yes, the building's going on, but like I said earlier, all of those apartments are market rate apartments. They're not affordable apartments. So it's nice to say that we'll have the money to address the affordable housing situation, but I don't see it physically happening in our town. And if we're going to truly be aggressive in going after affordable housing, meeting the needs, we have to set aside certain units at an affordability rate, and that's just not going on in Longmont. The second thing that I don't think is going on in Longmont is, to Sarah's comment, we are We are not exploring different types of housing versus what we normally consider housing, single-family residents and apartments. I think we ought to look at smaller units that were truly affordable and coming up with a creative idea that people really don't need as much space as we traditionally have had in the past, and come up with something that's smaller in size and more affordable to people. But still, this has not actually come across at Longmont, and I don't see it happening, but that's something we have to get started.
That's Roger Lang. I would like to, in the last 5-6 minutes that we have, ask each candidate to ask, what question would you like to ask of the other candidates? Sarah Levison, what question would you like Roger Lang and Brian Bagley to answer?
Well, I just want to know what you're going to do to help Longmont in the first 2 years. What piece of legislation, what program do you think you could do in your first 2-year term?
Brian Bagley, would you like to take that?
Actually, yeah. Okay. And so this is going to be a little different. Than it's not a program for the city, but it's a program for me personally. I've talked to my staff at work, and right now we've got a problem with DACA. And I know national issue, not a council issue, which is why I say it's a personal issue. Right now, you've got a bunch of children, much like my children. The only difference is my children are U.S. citizens and can't get deported. But you've got a lot of children who, to no fault of their own, were brought here from Mexico, other countries in some cases. But they were brought here, and now they, in some cases, don't speak Spanish. They don't remember moving here because a lot of them, I mean, I know one person who came here at the age of 6 months, and now they're worried that they're going to be deported. They're worried that they can't get a job. They're worried about their future. And so one thing that I'm committed to do as a program, but me personally with my firm, is I'm working with some of these DACA students to help organize LLCs, partnerships, find ways where they can be entrepreneurs instead of employees. And then they can go out and they can participate, thrive, survive, and actually contribute to not only our economy, but our community in general, without having to depend or worry on someone else. And so that's currently what was on my mind as I was driving in today. And so that's what I'm going to do.
That's Brian Bagley. Roger Lang.
I want to address affordability again, not just affordability of housing, but affordability of an item such as utility rates in our community. And I think utility rates for the city of Longmont are going up faster than obviously our citizens' income is going up. One in specific is water rates. We've got a big issue going on how much we should pay for water. Brian Bagley and I disagree on the amount of water we need, but he proposes more water than the city recommended, which consequently goes to higher utility rates. And I guess my question would be, what are you going to do to try and curb the increase in utility rates? And I think that's just it's as big an affordability problem as housing in itself.
Sarah Levison, you take that.
Well, first thing is I will take that mayor's pledge to end veterans homelessness. By the time I finish my first 2-year term, we will not have a veteran homeless on the streets of Longmont, period. And the second thing I will start working on is realistic retool of our affordable housing policies. While Mr. Bagley thinks that by having $1 million matching fund, you can build that much housing, the reality is he hasn't done his homework and his reading, because the federal subsidies for long-term affordable housing, permanent affordable housing, have virtually disappeared. State has very little money too. So basically, you could build less than 10 units on that $1 million. I'm going to find a better solution to that. And then the third thing I'm going to do is see what progress we can make to help our young families and educate the next generation of workers and students in Longmont by seeing what we can do. And I have some ideas that I don't have time to talk about. Early childhood education. For a poor child, it makes a huge difference for them to be a productive citizen who's going to earn a great income moving forward. And our lower income families, they don't have a lot of mobility. They're in Longmont to stay. So let's get their kids to get the best start.
And then to answer Roger Lang's question, what would you do about affordability of utilities?
Again, I think we have to, first of all, look at rejecting the ballot issue at the 10,000 acre feet for this huge reservoir project, and see what's affordable. I mean, part of affordable housing is utilities, and we have to look at where our price point on is and what's reasonable.
Brian Bagley, how would you address rising costs of utilities?
Well, there were three reasons why utilities, specifically the water utilities, went up. First of all, the federal government issued an unfunded mandate that said we had to revamp our water treatment plant. That was a huge hit. But the biggest hit was, it turns out that previous city councils have not been taking care of this particular issue. We should have been setting aside tiny increases over the last 70 years to prepare for the day, the inevitable day, where our sewer and water infrastructure had to be replaced. It's 70 years old, and the bill came due on my watch. And that's a $200 million bill. There's a 9% increase, then a 13% increase. That has nothing to do with Windy Gap firming. Nothing. Windy Gap firming will increase the utility rates by $1.82 approximately, $1.82 per month per household. What people don't realize is that we already do not use half of the 30,000 acre feet that Longmont currently owns. We only use 15 to 18,000 acre feet. Under that logic, well, we don't need Windy Gap firming at all. Well, city staff did not say, well, we definitely need six. I've had the conversations with city staff. I've had the conversations with the three different consultants that we came in or brought in to look at how much water we need. At build out, we will need 32,750 acre feet in a bad year, in a drought year. Right now, we only have 30,000. If Xcel Energy stops giving us the 2,500 that they swap with us, we will be short. And so right now, we have excess water. We don't use it for fracking. We don't sell it to our neighbors to build on Longmont's doorstep. And so I'm a little surprised that this has become such a big campaign issue, because in my mind, right now, the cheapest way to assure that we have water is we can store and build a bucket for $11,250 per acre foot. But if we buy it right now in the Big Thompson, it's $40,000. It's cheap. It's available. We can do it right now. So we should do it. 10,000 acre feet.
Okay, well, we are out of time, but I did want to give Brian Bagley just an opportunity very quickly. What question did you want the other candidate to answer?
We're out of time, but what do you have nice to say about the other two candidates? And
we can keep that very, very brief.
And I could start.
Go ahead, Brian.
I think Sarah Levison, I served with Sarah for 8 years. You will not find...
2 years.
I'm sorry. Or 2 years, but she was on council for 8 years. So actually, we served together 4 years.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, 4 years,
okay,
sorry.
4 years, sorry.
It's radio. I get nervous on radio. But Sarah is smart. She does her research, and she is unparalleled in that capacity. And I think Roger Lang, he is even-tempered, he's compassionate, and he's well-respected in our community.
I think we shall leave it at that. Nice words to end on. Thank you so much. I would like to actually give each candidate an opportunity, if you have a Facebook page or a website that you can throw out in your very, very brief closing statements. And there will be other opportunities to meet the candidates in the community this evening. The Longmont Area Democrats are hosting an event starting at 6-ish at the Oscar Blues Tasting Room on Pikes Road. We'll put the information about the other forums happening October 11th, 12th and 19th at kgnu.org. But just very, very briefly, Sarah Levison, closing statements.
Yes, I think that we've had a really great discussion, and I thank you for hosting it, and thank Brian and Roger for being in the race. This is what I anticipated. We had a great discussion about community values. Some of the things that I've always really worked hard at, I've been working when I was on council 3 to 5 years ahead of the curve. So that way, when I started working on the early childhood education issue, I was one of the first people regionally to talk about it. I also looked at technology and had a hackathon come to Longmont, our first ever. So I work ahead, I'm visionary, and I really have a unique ability to see what's going on in the community, come up with great solutions.
Sarah Levison, we're linking to her website at kgnu.org. And Roger Lang.
First of all, Brian, thank you for your kind comments. I think all three of us as candidates get along pretty well, and I appreciate working in that environment. I just wanted to say my website is rogerlangformayor.com. I encourage everybody to go to my website. You can learn a little bit more about me than you learned this morning, but enjoyed being on the radio with you, and have yourself a good day.
Thank you, Roger Lang. Brian Bagley.
Thank you. Just briefly, if you want to learn more about my positions regarding the economy, the homeless problem, smart growth, how we can safeguard our water, how we can protect our residential neighborhoods and our city from fracking, and how we can come up with common sense affordable housing solutions, you can visit my website, which is bagleyformayor.com, B-A-G-L-E-Y, formayor.com. And I just want to point out again, just to end on a positive note, that if you look at all the candidates in all the races, Ward 2, at-large, and mayor, Longmont is really fortunate to be blessed with such a good candidate pool and people who are willing and able to step up and attempt to serve in this capacity. Well, but thank you for our time today.
Thank you to all the candidates. We are linking to all the websites at kgnu.org. Stay tuned for KGNU's Morning Send Alternative.